DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
We're joined now to discuss American issues by Cal Thomas and today Larry Donnelly with Marion McKeown on holiday. But let's start by hearing Donald Trump, who at the weekend told Christian voters that they would never need to vote again after this presidential election.
And again, Christians, get out and vote just this time. You won't have to do it anymore. 4 more years, you know what? It'll be fixed. It'll be fine. You won't have to vote anymore, my beautiful Christians. I love you, Christians. I'm a Christian. I love you. Get out. You got to get out and vote. In 4 years, you don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good you're not going to have to vote.
In what way does he mean fixed so good, Cal Thomas?
If we had TV on right now, Matt, you would see me shaking my head. What a ignorant comment that is. He must have forgotten all those executive orders that Biden issued, over 90 of them, when he came into office. I mean, why would you tell a potential major group of people that they don't have to vote again? Now, what I've seen in some of the commentary on this is that evangelical Christians especially have had a history of not turning out in large numbers like some other groups, and maybe that was what he was getting at. But on the surface, it is just one of the dumber of many comments that he's made.
Because, Larry Donnelly, I would have just thought it, rather than, as some people are suggesting, that he's going to sort of abolish democracy, you'll never have a chance to vote again, we'll be in power, that this is a perhaps cack-handed way of saying we're going to do things so brilliantly, we'll have such a major overall majority, the next time it comes to vote, you won't have to bother because I'll win anyway.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, it's bananas. I think Cal hit the nail on the head. These are grossly irresponsible comments, first because there are legitimate doubts about how Donald Trump regards an American democracy and what he might exactly be capable of. What's more, as Cal says, they are downright dumb. It plays right into the hands of his critics. It gives them more things to feed the fire on the left. And again, we know that Kamala Harris has had a really good period. This is fueling that further. And in addition, I think it might give some conservatives a pause, as well as the vital constituency, the people who are going to decide this election, the people in the middle. When they hear this and they hear how it's covered in the media, they might say, what does this guy have in mind? So it was a crazy thing to say.
Well, let's hear a little bit of what then the interview that he did with Laura Ingraham, in which the former president discussed the remarks he'd made about Christians not having to vote again.
They're also attacking you for other ridiculous reasons. They're saying that you said to a crowd of Christians that they won't have to vote in the future.
Yeah, let me say, what did I mean by that? I had a tremendous crowd speaking to Christians. This was a crowd that liked me a lot. I think I'm at 97% or something. And they're treated very badly by this administration, okay? Catholics are treated unbelievably. They're like persecuted. And if I might say, before I go into the other, Jewish people, if you're Jewish and you vote for Biden or the Democrats or Kamala or whoever's going to run, I guess it's going to be her. But if you voted for her or the Democrats, you should have your head examined, because nobody's ever been treated so badly by this. This administration is destroying Israel, et cetera, et cetera. So with respect to like a statement like I made, that statement is very simple. I said, vote for me. You're not going to have to do it ever again. It's true. Because we have to get the vote out. Christians are not known as a big voting group. They don't vote. And I'm explaining that to them. You never vote. This time, vote. I'll straighten out the country. You won't have to vote anymore. I won't need your vote. You can go back to not voting.
You don't have to vote for you because you have 4 years in office.
Look. Christians are known. You know who else doesn't vote? Gun owners don't vote.
But to be clear, what you're saying, though, you're not saying, it's being interpreted as, you are not surprised to hear.
No.
By the left as, well, they're never going to have another election. He's saying there's not.
Okay. So, first time
so
I've
can,
even heard.
Can you even just respond to that?
I said Christians I started off by saying, just so you understand, you never vote. Christians do not vote well. They vote in very small percentages. Why? I don't know. Maybe they're disappointed in things that are happening. But for a long time, I say, you don't vote. I'm saying, go out. You must vote. November 5th is going to be the most important election in the history of our country.
Niall in Cork says, clearly the ramblings of an elderly man not in touch with reality. Bizarre to think he's qualified to run anything, let alone the United States. Larry Donnelly, what persecution have Catholics faced under the Catholic President Joe Biden?
Well, I'm not sure they faced persecution or prosecution. And I should say Trump's statement there that Christians don't vote. I know that Cal and I are both Christians. I don't think either one of us has ever missed a vote. So, again, more verbal diarrhea from the former president. Now, what Trump is getting at, again, he's putting it extremely inartfully. What he's getting at here is people of faith and what people in the middle, people in the battleground states, people who are practicing Catholics, for instance, who are dismayed at the Biden administration on abortion, on other thing issues like that, on the culture wars generally. There's a point, a political point, and some political point scoring that could be made there, but it's so poorly delivered. I'm not sure how strongly it will resonate with the very people he's trying to make that point to. And again, I think it's another instance where this is stuff the base will like. The base will love all this stuff. But in terms of the people he's going to have in his corner, people who probably were in his corner when Joe Biden was going to be the nominee, people who now their vote is up for grabs, I think that the rhetoric and the positioning here from Trump's point of view is all wrong.
Cal, there's hardly religious repression in the United States now, is there?
Well, let me just say there's an old line in American politics that if you have to explain yourself, you're losing. And that explanation was as bad or worse than the initial comment. I haven't a clue of what he's talking about. Anybody who's familiar with Scripture are familiar with the line that if you are a person of faith, if you are committed to a kingdom not of this world, then you will be persecuted. It's not bad to be persecuted. It's a mark of the depth of your faith. And anybody who is familiar with the teachings of Jesus and the writings of the Apostle Paul, no. So this is the kind of stuff you get in a political season. Both sides do it. They call each other radicals, out of the mainstream. We're being persecuted. You're a racist. You're a sexist. And you see it every 4 years, and more importantly now, you see it every 2 years in the congressional elections. They usually don't mean it, but, you know, it gins up the base, and it turns out to vote for your respective side.
Cal, when you hear Donald Trump calling himself a Christian, are you convinced by his sincerity?
No, I interviewed him in 2016 in New York in Trump Tower, and I said, I'm going to ask you a question that nobody else has asked you. And he said, what's that? I said, who is Jesus? And he goes into this rambling thing about, you know, great teacher and all of that. Then he says, and I have a lot of evangelical support. I said, well, I know that, but that's not the question I asked you. And then he rambles on some more. Look, it's not up to me to judge another's faith, but there is a line in Scripture that says, by your fruits you shall know them. And his fruits are pretty rotten. The way he denounces and puts down and demeans other people, it is so unnecessary. He came out of the Republican convention with the Republicans united and tremendous enthusiasm. And what has he done since then? He's played golf. He's met with a bunch of Bitcoin people, cryptocurrency, promised to fire the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission that the crypto crowd doesn't like. And I think he's blown his lead. And I think it may get worse after the Democrat convention next month.
Yeah, this cryptocurrency thing, Larry, not something I'd planned to discuss with you, but since Cal has brought it up, he went to this convention over the weekend. Is this his way of trying to get more support from the tech bros? And for the people who believe in cryptocurrency, a bit like the way people before the crash of 2007-2008 believed in derivatives and all other supposedly smart investments.
Yeah, it's a really odd one, Matt, I think, at every level, especially because Trump was so critical of crypto in the past. I think he said it was meaningless and nonsense and worthless and all this sort of thing. So perhaps that's one interpretation to put on it, is that he's trying to make further inroads with, as you say, the tech bros. But I'm just not so sure what's going on there. And I would concur with Cal that there's a degree of overconfidence, I think, that has crept into the Trump campaign. I don't think it's the strategist. I think it's beyond their control. I think Trump, after the debate in particular, I think he thought he had this thing sewn up and started to do a victory lap. And I think that, yes, the convention was a success because Republicans were buoyed, and I think they all felt the same way. But, for instance, why on earth at this stage, I think an awful lot of Republicans behind closed doors are saying, why on earth did this guy pick J.D. Vance to be his running mate when he adds absolutely nothing to the ticket, especially in a context where Kamala Harris is now the nominee? Vance may shore up the base in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and of course that's important, but he doesn't grow the potential vote for Donald Trump. And indeed, with a lot of the statements that have come to light, whether on abortion or whatever the issue might be that J.D. Vance has made, he's increasingly becoming a liability for Trump. So whereas a couple of weeks ago, I would have said Donald Trump was the odds-on guy, definitely a sure, almost a sure thing to be the next president of the United States, now I look and say, wait a second, the game has changed altogether.
Indeed, Carl, yep. All this childless cat lady stuff from Vance really seems to have quite rightly irritated an awful lot of people. Could bring out the wavering vote against Trump.
Yes, well, we read that Donald Trump Jr. was the major force in getting his father to pick J.D. Vance. I think that Trump needs to pull a Tom Eagleton, George McGovern deal from 1972. Students of American politics will remember that when it was revealed that Senator Eagleton, who was from Missouri, had had electric shock treatments for some kind of mental condition, McGovern replaced him with Sergeant Shriver, one of the members of the Kennedy family and a founder of the Peace Corps. I don't think things are going to get better for Trump with J.D. Vance on the ticket. The time to act is right now. He ought to do it before the Democratic convention and pick somebody who is more widely popular, better known, and doesn't have the baggage that J.D. Vance has.
Interesting. Let's hear a little bit more of Donald Trump with Laura Ingraham. And this time he is attacking Kamala Harris's alleged radicalism.
They are the ones that are a threat to democracy. Number one, they had an incompetent man as president, okay? Now they have somebody who's worse. She's sort of incompetent. She's not very smart, but she's very radical. Very radical. She will try and defund the police. She's going to try and defund the police.
Is she more of an extremist than most Bernie. Americans today still understand?
Than Bernie. They say more than Bernie. More than Bernie Sanders. Bernie,
oh, he endorsed her.
Bernie
obviously.
Sanders is a major lunatic, okay? She's worse than Bernie Sanders. Now, she's trying to come back. She got rid of the laugh. I noticed I haven't seen that crazy laugh that she got. She's crazy. That laugh, that's the laugh of a crazy person. But I noticed that she's not using that laugh anymore. Somebody convinced her, don't laugh. Just don't laugh. Don't laugh under any circumstances because
I like laughter, but sometimes.
Not her laughter.
But she claims.
So, Cal, it's her laugh that is what has Donald Trump most worked up.
Yeah, well, that's my laugh, and I laugh in derision at some of this stuff. But look, I wish that Trump would get through all of this, again, name-calling and denigration of other people, calling them all sorts of names, and get back to the issues, because I think he and the Republicans have the issues on their side. Kamala Harris is a San Francisco Democrat. She's a California Democrat. During the height of the Black Lives Matter movement, she promoted a bail fund that freed men convicted of murder and sexual assault. While on bail, some of them committed additional crimes. Wall Street Journal editorial said that her proposals for new spending were blowouts that caused inflation. There are all kinds of issues that can be addressed. But Trump doing the name-calling doesn't win him any votes. And the base is already fired up. I don't know if they were any more fired up, they would be like the California wildfires.
Larry Donnelly, this claim that Trump made, she would defund police, is that correct? Is she vulnerable to the list of issues that Cal outlined there in relation to Black Lives Matter as on other things?
That charge is not correct, but she is absolutely vulnerable to these attacks that she is a leftist and out of step with, I suppose, middle America. I think those attacks are very live. The problem is, as Cal says, can Trump get it out of his own way with the personal nasty stuff to make these in a cogent way? The reality is the Black Lives Matter movement, which again would be popular outside the United States, is deeply unpopular in the states where the road to the White House is likely to pass through, as is her past support for reparations for African Americans because of slavery and other historic injustices. The issue on the police, again, not 100% true, but it will play well with those audiences. Things like voting rights for convicted criminals with horrible charges against them. All of those things are coming down the track. And here's the task. Harris may seek to portray herself as a centrist Democrat. She may move to the middle. We see, for instance, that she now, which she was opposed to fracking, which is a huge issue, in particular in Pennsylvania. Now she is not opposed to fracking any longer. And the question becomes, who really is Kamala Harris? And the authenticity issue dogged her, I think, in 2020 when she ran for the Democratic nomination for president. Can she sort of seamlessly reassure people with doubts about her undeniably left of center opinions on many, many things and still garner their support without appearing totally inauthentic? So I said it before and I'll say it again. Harris is having a really good honeymoon period, but she's going to be tested like she's never been tested before when the attacks start. And how she responds to them is going to be the decisive issue in this election.
Yeah, but Larry, I'm going to stay with you for a second before going back to Cal, because you live on this side of the Atlantic. And when people in America call her a radical leftist, and indeed some people call her a communist, and that she's a dangerous radical and all this sort of stuff, a lot of the things that she promotes would be regarded as merely left of centre here on this side of the Atlantic. Why is it that people get so worked up in America about things that they regard to be dangerously progressively left, which are quite moderate by European standards?
Because of the fundamental cultural difference between the United States and Europe. Europe and Europeans see society and see themselves as part of society first and foremost. Americans still have the individualism and the rugged individualist ideal above all. And that colors how they see a whole myriad of different things. It colors how they see government. It colors how they see the role of government and all sorts of things from top to bottom in their daily lives is a drastically different scene. It goes back to something I said a long time ago and Cal and I discussed, back to when Trump and his taxes and his refusal to pay taxes, et cetera, were an issue. And people here were saying, this is the end of Trump. My God, this is over. Because in Europe, paying taxes and doing what you're supposed to do would be seen as your responsibility to society. In the United States, there is a drastically different idea, and indeed, the IRS is seen as the enemy. And, you know, while a small minority might say Trump was wrong to do, et cetera, an awful lot of people in America would say he's only doing the right thing. I'd get off with paying as little taxes as I can, too. So it's that drastic cultural distinction between how the people in the United States see the world, see their government, see just about everything, versus how people on this side of the Atlantic see things.
Okay, one listener.
Excellent analysis. Excellent analysis, Larry. Totally good.
One listener says that Trump's comments about Harris are straight out of the misogynist playbook, calling a woman that you're threatened by crazy. Crazy persons laugh is what he said, and then crazy. But Cal, I also want to ask you about her vice presidential choice, because you said the Republicans may have made a big mistake with J.D. Vance. Who do you think that Trump and the Republicans would fear if she was to pick some whoever it is as vice presidential running mate?
What's interesting, Matt, is the number of people who are announcing in advance that they're not a candidate for vice president and don't want to be. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, who's been widely praised as a potential running mate for Harris, has announced that she doesn't want to be her choice. And then we have Governor Roy Cooper of North Carolina, who I saw a few weeks ago at in a visit to Washington of the U.S. Capitol, who's known as pretty much a moderate Democrat, a good guy. A lot of people like him. He crosses the aisle for a lot of folks. He's not highly controversial. He's announced that he doesn't want to be vice president. He's probably going to run for the Senate in a couple of years. So it's rather amusing to me to see these people who are announcing in advance saying, nope, I don't want to be vice president. Maybe they know something that the pollsters don't.
Yeah, but she still has choices available to her. I mean, that's just
sure.
Two people who've pulled out. There's loads of other potentials. So who would the Republicans fear? Would they be worried if it was, for example, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro or Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona or the Minnesota Governor Tim Walz or even Andy Beshear, the Kentucky governor?
Right. Well, Shapiro of Pennsylvania has a negative as far as the teachers' unions are concerned because he promoted school choice on his way to the governorship. Mark Kelly, the senator from Arizona you mentioned, a former astronaut, very good choice. I don't know. You know, this is I'm not inside the Democrat playbook or the Democrat mindset, but I do think she needs to pick somebody who is a little perceived as a more moderate than she is. The problem with that is that whoever that person is going to be asked by reporters if that person agrees with all of Harris's positions on increased spending, on a national health care system run by the government, and some of these other things that a lot of people regard as far left or liberal or California philosophy.
Thank you very much, Cal Thomas and Larry Donnelly, for being with us this evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.